welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 372 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good.
We meet again. We're talking about subliminal messaging this week, aren't we? And getting under the skin of people's minds and our own minds as well, perhaps.
Yeah.
We'll come on to that in a sec. Liveinthepresent.co.uk, all the show notes and links are in there. Are there any subliminal messages on our website? I don't think so at the moment. Maybe I should try and sneak a few in there. Bye, Sean.
But if you think as a creative artist, you're forever trying to affect the way people see things.
Yeah, trying and failing a lot of the time. But yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Everything we have in our world and we see and is there for a reason, isn't it? Generally.
Yeah. But the thing is that if you go somewhere, you just pick it up. You don't realize, you don't think about it. You just pick it up. Yeah. It's below your awareness.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. We'll come on to this in a sec. Yeah, I've mentioned the website. Yeah, Sean has got a book, Living the Present, which is well worth a look if it's out via the website as well.
Yeah.
We are back up and running on iTunes. The feed is working, so subscribe there if you can. I think we're on a few others as well, Stitcher. I can't remember the name of all the various. We're in most of the popular podcast libraries, but yeah.
If you want us, you can get us. You can just go to the website.
You know what you're doing. What have you been up to, Sean? How's your last few days been for you?
It is busy. You know, we're just looking at the app situation with COVID, and it's coming back up again now. They were saying it's going down. Well, now it's plateaued, and it's starting to move back up.
I guess we're in the UK, we're at that point where we don't seem to have the UK, England, we'll talk about. We haven't reached that point where we're on like zero cases. We're not anywhere near to zero cases. So I guess, are we just happy having it swirling around in the system for until something comes along to fix it magically?
Well, no, see, now I think that the answer to that question is very much about what we're talking about today, because people's attitudes to the virus have been obtained subliminally.
Right.
You know, it's like people don't know why they feel what they feel necessarily.
Fascinating, isn't it? What got you thinking? I know you've written a blog post for this one, and it kicks off with the story about the statue in Bristol. So what kicked off your thought?
I was watching the statue, which I think is an absolutely fabulous statue, the one that they've done, and it's been taken down since.
Yeah.
But Colston, we know, was a slave trader. He made his money of slaving and trading people, you know, and he had this statue. Now, how many thousands of people walked past that statue? Millions of people since it was put there, and felt like good about it and felt like it was a part of this whole thing, because architecture is subliminal. Yeah. It affects the way that we feel without us realizing that what's going on. And it's fascinating to watch the people now saying, but we need to vote on whether we have the statue or not. Did anybody vote before they put Colston up there? Mm-hmm. No, it's the whole idea of what I feel about my entitlements is given to me subliminally as I'm brought up as a child. So is it that as a black person, I feel that I don't have the right to do this, therefore I don't do it? Because subliminally, that's what I've learned. Or is it that as a white person, I feel like I've got this sense of entitlement because that's subliminally what I was taught? No one actually said to me, you know what, Sean, you've got a sense of entitlement. But I'm aware now that as I've traveled through Africa and Asia, Middle East, that I do have a sense of entitlement. I assume things, not that people are worse than me, but I assume that I have a right. Mm-hmm. That when I talk to my black friends, they tell me that they don't make that assumption, that they have the right. Yeah. And no one said it to us, but subliminally it's there.
Yeah. And we can't necessarily be blamed for that or for not being alert to that fact, because we are quite malleable creatures, aren't we? And these things seep into our brains slowly and happen without us even... I mean, is that the definition of subliminal? What does it actually mean?
Well, it means that what's happening is that you're learning something, or something's being infiltrated into your system without you being aware of it. You know?
Yeah.
So I mean, the classic would be the Redibreck advert, where you've got two children, one looks like they're radioactive and they're striding along because they've had their Redibreck. And then subliminally, you create a character who's going along behind him who looks like he's going like, and he's in a terrible state because he hasn't had his Redibreck. So the subliminal message is, would you do that to your child? Mm-hmm. You know, would you be such a cruel mother, you do that to your child? And it's a subliminal message. No one says it.
Wow. Yeah, I've actually got the definition here now. So it's not subliminal. It's not recognized or something that is not recognized or understood by the conscious mind, but still having an influence on it.
Yeah.
I mean, does that include things that keep us alive, like breathing? Is that a subliminal kind of thought, just to breathe every few seconds?
No, that's not subliminal. That's just your system is working. It does it instinctively. It's programmed in. No.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when your bladder's full, you know, it reaches the sensor and it goes, "Oi, you need to empty me now." So you have to run to the loo, you know.
I'm a big fan of Derren Brown. I don't know what he's described, illusionist, magician, all sorts. But he's done some amazing shows on TV and with studio audiences where he can have subliminally, he can read people's minds, basically. Obviously, he can't, and I'm sure he would admit that. But he knows, he has these little ways of either tricking people into saying what he wants them or doing what he wants them to do. Hmm. There's one on YouTube, I'll link to it in the show notes, about he has this artist or this person come in and create an advert for a product, and he's already created the advert and it's under the sheet, and he has this guy come in and he works with a team of artists and designers to create this advert for a product. And at the end of the day, they take the sheet off and they compare it, and it's almost exactly the same, the Derren Brown one that he'd done the night before, to what the guy did and spent all day, and he just can't believe it. And then he kind of rewinds and he shows you, and throughout the day there's been little things that Derren Brown has inserted into the room that he was in, or even the journey that he took on the way to the office in London, I think it was, and that he subliminally must notice but doesn't mention at the time. But all these things play out and end up on this sheet of paper. It's crazy.
Yeah. And there are other bits about the subliminal part of our system, that sometimes we get a bad feeling about somebody. You know, we can't trust this person. Got no reason. There's no logical reason to do that, but you can feel it. And it's those kinds of bits of you that are picking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that might be quite a protective thing that we developed through our evolution. You know?
What about the person that's on the receiving end of that? So the person that we instinctively don't like, are they instinctively knowing that they're being, people aren't liking them, or do they have not necessarily. Is there a fix for that?
Yeah. And I think that the subliminal thing is also that kind of gut feeling. It is that thing, you know. But the amount of times people have said to me, "I knew I shouldn't have done that, and I did it." Mm. Yeah, and it's like they knew at a deeper level inside themselves. Yeah. So I think there are some connections of awareness to the subliminal part of our system, but we don't pay attention to it. And that's what mindfulness is about. Mindfulness is about becoming aware of what's happening in our system and how we're being affected. So we're in control of it and it's not in control of us.
Yeah. It's not an avenue I've gone down that much, but, or a rabbit hole, but if you go on YouTube and you search for, like I did a quick search for subliminal messages in movies and songs, there's loads of videos, and they're kind of quite conspiracy theorist-ish films and videos, and I know a lot of people apparently kind of get lost in these films, and it really alters their understanding and their trust, how much trust they have in the world and our leaders and that kind of thing, and the musicians, and kind of you get questions about the Illuminati and kind of reptilian creatures that kind of are like underneath the skin of the president of the USA and all this mad stuff. So a lot of people are interested in this stuff and understanding it, but how come it so often leads us down that road of conspiracy?
Because I think it's something that I do raise in the blog here. It's about the negative bias that it's assumed that we survived throughout evolution by focusing on the negative, not the positive, because the negative killed and the positive didn't. So it's that, but those things are subliminal. So things like an animal that's coloured yellow and black, we know is not safe. It's going to be poisonous. Yeah, and we ate that in the nudging, which is the conscious effect of trying to subliminally make people do things for their own good. So if you see the tape that people are using to distance at the moment, it's black and yellow. So don't step over the tape. If you look at signs for poison, they're usually black and yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's quite a lot that we know, but advertisers, propagandists, politicians, all those people are subliminally affecting the way that we see the world. Yeah. And the worst one of all is social media. Mm-hmm. Because one person says something that subliminally affects other people, and then they start sharing stuff around which has no basis in anything, and suddenly it becomes a known fact. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's very frustrating to see sometimes things online that are who has the truth? You know, the truth. We could do a whole other episode on what the actual truth is, but if you see someone online that you know is false, or even, you know, has a good probability that it's false, and then you see how many times it's been liked or shared or commented on, and you just you just feel like giving up, don't you? Because you know that it's halfway around the world already before, and the truth will never catch it up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But is it that subliminally we listen? Because, I mean, the whole of the UK is full of accents. And accents have different values, just like skin colours can have different values. And the way that we subliminally interact with things, you know, if someone has a certain kind of accent, do we assume that they're thick or do we assume they're clever? You know, depending on, but we don't think about that. We don't think, that person has got that accent, therefore they must be. We don't do that. We just respond subliminally.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's the below awareness stuff. And it's only when we wake up enough to become aware of the fact that someone is actually trying to manipulate what we're thinking and we're feeling.
So what techniques do you use for like positive manipulation in terms of how you bring your clients under control and how you nudge them to take a different action in life? Maybe it's to quit smoking or to pursue a healthier life in order to lose weight, that kind of thing.
Well, the first thing that I do is get them to listen to their voice, because when you say something, you hear it and you just reinforce it, but it's below your awareness. So and the classic is someone says, I can't do that. They say it, they hear it, they're right, they just confirm something. And that whole sense about we act a ways below our awareness in subliminal ways without realizing it. So the lady I was working with, who was very overweight, and when I was trying to get her to do an exercise regime with our good friend Conrad to get her going, so he would do the physical end and I'd do the psychological end, and she said to me, I haven't got time. Why hasn't she got time? Because she had too much on her plate.
Wow. I believe, just slightly off topic, but I believe that 1 million people have quit smoking since in the UK, since the virus has reared its head, and I think another half a million are attempting to, like a bit more than usual.
Yeah.
So I guess there's nothing like a good crisis as well, is there, to kind of wake people up?
Yeah. Yeah. So subliminally, people have just been smoking and ignoring what it might do to them. But when something forces that under your awareness into your awareness, then I've got to change something. I've noticed when I've been out running the amount of big people that are out at the moment. And there seems that there's more and more people out running and riding bikes and stuff. But the amount of big people that are carrying a lot of weight. And I always think, wow, good on you, kid. Keep going. Yeah. Because the effect that weight has on your organs and your joints and everything, if you can just get it off, you know, and we know that people that are bigger have more problems with the virus.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's the key, is that's what's kicked people into doing.
Yeah, like I say, nothing like a good crisis, hey, to wake people up.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned meditation and mindfulness in your blog post as well.
Yeah.
Which is something I've struggled with over the years, but is that a big
part? I haven't been able to subliminally get you to do any meditation. No.
You need to start dangling a clock.
Yeah.
Or a little watch, pocket watch, in front of the camera. When did meditation become part of your life, and how has it impacted?
Oh, 100 years ago. I first meditated in about 1962, 63.
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of meditation, and it's always been a part of my life in one form or another. At different times, it's been more formal. So it went from being like a few minutes a day to doing like an hour a day, or maybe an hour twice a day. Or if you go on one of the retreats, that would be like 11 hours a day for 10 days, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, what the meditation does, because you're learning to focus, as you focus on your breath or your body, you're listening to what's going on. And you can hear the kind of interventions that are going on in your system as they come in. So you start to become aware of it, and so that you dismiss it. Now, there's a point for me with that subliminal stuff that people feed me that I think is quite fun. So I mentioned it in this, but it's like, I love going to buy a car because I love watching the guy and the way he's going to try and subliminally get me to sign the bottom of the form.
Yeah,
and it's lovely to feel that kind of thing going on, and you can feel it in your system and be aware of it. and there's also, for me, looking at how clever people are. Because when I bought this one that I've got now, when I went to the garage, there were two options on the cars, and the guy knew very clearly which one I would want and which one he'd want me to have. So he took me out in the rubbish one first. That's unfair, in the not so good one first, and then he took me out in the one with all the whistles and the bells and the knobs on. Knowing that I'd go, oh wow. Yeah. But just being aware of what he's doing to me is fun.
There is a real craft to that, isn't there?
I
mean, especially if you're I think most people are alert to that. It's the type of when we bought our last car, and it might be our last car. I don't really enjoy that kind of situation, because I can feel I know I'm susceptible to just being polite and just signing my life away. So I did a lot of research online, and you know, and looked at all the options available online for secondhand cars, blah blah blah. And, you know, I pretty much knew, narrowed it down to two or three, and then just went along and checked them all out, and then that's the one. That's me sorted. So. I steered away from that salesman stuff because, yeah, and I'm aware that it's what goes on and how good those those people are and what they do.
Yeah. I think it's clever. Long time ago when I was a teenager, I did some training with an American plastics company that didn't seem so bad at the time, which was called Universal Plastics. And the guy that owned it was called Julius Jason. And he did these training programs that we went on. But we were taught to do things like you knock on someone's door and a lady comes to the door and kind of rolls in a hairnet and a fag hanging outside of the mouth. And you say hello from the feet up and say, "Is your mother in?" And she goes, "Oh, you naughty boy." You know, and it was all that, you know. And if you're trying to close a sale, you say, "Would you like one or two?" And they go, "Oh, I just have one." Because the option isn't, do you want one or not? It's, do you have one or two? And it was like all those kinds of things that when you're told them, you think they'd be so stupid. Then you actually try it out in the field, and it's amazing how real it is. You know? Bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see myself as a salesperson, but I guess I am of sorts because I've been, you know, self-employed for 12 years now or something like that. And, you know, I've had to get all my work in.
Yep.
Off my own back. Generally not been knocking on doors or haven't at all. It's all been, you know, meeting people at meetings and stuff and shaking hands and just being polite and friendly and offering a bit of advice here and there.
Different kind of
sales, I guess. But yeah, same for you, I assume. You know, you have a sales process for your clients.
But if you think of any of us in a social setting, you know, wherever you're going to go to work, whatever you do, you're actually in the process of selling who you are. You know, so people are either going to think you're a nice person or like, got to watch them. And that is all a subliminal process that's going on.
Yeah. You
know? So the classic would be you meet someone, you think they're fabulous, and then someone says to you, if you knew what they were really like, then they tell you stories. And the next time you meet that person, you see them completely differently.
Yeah.
And it's that bit below our awareness that we can become aware of, but it's below our kind of cognitive awareness that's kind of going on down here that affects us because it has that direct instinctual thing. So we start to react rather than respond. We're doing things from the amygdala, just, you know, off the cuff.
Very
often, if you question someone why they did that when they did it below their awareness, very often they don't know. I haven't got a clue.
So how do we start using these cool tools and this powerful stuff to change our own minds? So not maybe worrying about other people so much, but, you know, mate, I'm sure we've all got things about us that we would like to change and do differently. So yep. how do we use this stuff? I mean, is it...
Well, if you accept the fact that you've learned it subliminally, then the easiest way to get rid of it or change it is to do it subliminally. So, and the easiest ways to do that are having things like mantras or affirmations that you use. You know, how many times do I have to say, I love and approve of myself before I do? You know, because I wasn't born not loving and approving of myself, just that I learned not to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it might be, I have to say it 100 times, 1,000 times, 4,000 times, a million times until it becomes a part of the way I see myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so all those kinds of things. And the other thing is, there was a woman years ago when people were using lots of desktop computers, and she invented this little process where you'd have these little cards that she would produce for you that you put in the corner of the screen, and it would be some positive kind of affirmation so that while you're working away at your desk on your computer, this subliminal message was coming in all the time. Yeah.
Cool.
And if you think about vision boards, having a vision board that you look at, you have it up on the wall, and you've got things on there that you want to achieve or you want to get or you want to create. And as you keep passing the board, it's feeding in, it's feeding in.
Yeah.
It's feeding in, yeah. So anything that's like that. Yeah, and overall, listening to your voice, what are you saying? Is the parental side in your head, is it a negative parent or a kind of controlling parent who's telling you off all the time because you're bad? Or have you got a nice, cuddly, nurturing parent in your head who's making sure life's okay for you? You know, and it's like what you feed grows, what you starve dies. Yeah, but once you become aware of it, because the people very often, because it's below awareness, don't realize it until someone points it out. And then they listen to their thoughts or they listen to their voice. And then they think, blimey, you're right. I am doing that. Yeah.
So what's the parent like in your head? It's not your dad, is it?
It used to be hugely critical. Used to be hugely critical. Now my parent is a nice, cuddly character who is a nurturing, nice person. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And when I get something wrong, I don't beat myself up anymore. I kind of laugh and go, okay, something to learn. There you go. Yeah. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to learn. Yeah.
You know, some guy's just put his lawnmower on outside my window, so I'm going to shut the window. But while I'm doing that, are there specific books, or we'll come to Resource of the Week soon, but are there specific books or teachers that you know of that are really good on the subliminal stuff and the, I don't know, hypnosis or even that kind of thing?
Well, hypno can be good, yeah. Something that's called mantra yoga is always worth looking at, because mantras are about speech segments that you might use out loud that affects you subliminally. But also, I feel a bit odd saying it these days, but things like The Secret and that whole series of books are a lot about that. They're about how do you change that process inside you, so that you do start to reinforce the positive in that kind of under your awareness way.
I need to re-engage with The Secret, because I was in that world for quite a while, and I've forgotten about all the different writers and people that appear in that documentary, The Secret.
But Joe Vitale, I use quite a lot of his stuff when I'm working with people, especially there's a book called The Attractor Factor, which is about how do you get to focus on what it is you really want to do. And that's good. Bob Proctor, I love. He must be quite old now. I assume he's still doing stuff. I've got lots of them up here. But yeah, Bob Proctor is a good one. And I did hook out the other day this, which is a secret gratitude
journal,
I suppose you'd call it, yeah. And I've got entries in here, and I found it in the back of the cupboard. I've got entries in here that go back to 2010.
You know, I was journaling quite a lot back then as well, so I'll have a book hidden away somewhere with daily entries, and I think I had a bit at the start with some kind of goals and stuff that I wanted to hit. So I wonder, wonder if those goals are still ones that I'm still chasing, or I'm not interested anymore. I need to look that up actually.
Yeah, and that's interesting too, isn't it? Because if you start to focus on goals that are ones that you really want, you build them, and I suppose you discover as you go through that kind of process, the things that actually aren't really that important to you that you thought were,
What's your resource of the week then, Sean?
Well, I've put down, and I'm not recommending that you go and buy any of this stuff, but just go and have a look at it. www.subliminalvisionboards.com. And if you just go through their website, it's got some fabulous ideas on it. You might decide to engage with them or go and do them yourself, but it's a really good way of looking at vision boards, because they include things like they're looking at digital vision boards as an app. But they're including like sounds and lighting and all that kind of stuff to make it flow for you. I think it's probably, from my point of view, it's better to have something which is like permanently on the wall rather than something you're turning on and off. But as you walk past, you see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to link to Dangerously a YouTube video about subliminal messaging and whether it works or not. Quite a cool little intro to it. Just be wary that you don't get lost down a YouTube rabbit hole about reptilian presidents and Illuminati stuff.
There's some weird stuff out there. See, I have things like this that are on my on the bookcase. So I see people in this room. So there's things like this on the bookcase that are there.
Never give up. Yeah.
And is that kind of subliminal stuff? How about that?
Inhale, exhale, hail picture. Yeah, very nice. Yeah,
just breathe in and breathe out. So I might get people actually doing some breathing stuff. So here we have the breath timer.
Ah. Have you got to wait that long until you can take a breath?
No. You do the exercise until the sun runs up.
Okay. I would need instructions for that one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cool. That's a good reminder for people. Actually, we put these episodes on YouTube now because we're recording through Zoom, and it gives you a video file. So check that out if you haven't already. You happy, Sean? We all done?
Yeah. I'm happy. What's your results then?
Oh yeah, good shout. Oh no, mine's the YouTube video, messaging introduction. So yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we're back next week for more. Do send us an email via the website if you want us to cover anything in particular. What's going on in the world at the moment? So I'm sure you can think of something. And Sean, you take care till next week, eh?
And you have a good time. See ya.
Bye. Bye. See ya.